This is a Beyond Casterbrews podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrews.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another podcast with a K, although I think we have a voice that does that now, but that's okay. I can do it twice. Why not? It's my podcast, after all. And James's, who's joining me today? Right, James?
I am, yes.
Yeah, but not Christian. He's no. He's busy.
He's busy.
We'll just say busy.
He's busy. Far, far away.
Yeah. So, James,
yeah.
Got some things to talk about today.
We have. I find it's kind of weird you taking the lead here. It's
yeah. This is why I usually don't. You see how well it's going right now?
It's actually so going awesome. Quite well. Yeah.
Oh, cool. No. But we're gonna talk about something pertaining to the new series, which actually just landed today as we're recording this podcast, which is a new companion trailer for Series 10. And when we say that, it's a companion specifically themed trailer for the companion, but. Anyway, we were just both able to take the time to watch this.
Have they been called companion trailers before? I mean, obviously, we've had a couple which have certainly been companion trailers, like the first Rose one was clearly a companion trailer. Have we had many before? Did Martha have a companion trailer?
I do not recall a companion trailer from Martha.
I mean, you recall the one for Rose? Because it was the two, wasn't it? There was an Eccleston one and there
yes.
was the Rose one. So
yeah.
The new companion trailer was just an interesting title, I thought.
I don't recall a companion trailer for Amy, but if you count BBC America's companion introduction to every story, we've kind of technically had a companion trailer for Amy.
Is this just, I mean, this is a BBC America trailer that we're watching. I don't know whether it
right.
was transposed to the UK over here. I've certainly not seen it yet, but it has only been, in theory, out a day. This was released... Well, this was released today by the looks of it for us recording.
Right, exactly.
So what do I think about it? I don't know. There's a few points that I'd like to make and then you can refute them. One thing I do like is I like his longer hair again. I hate his shorter haircuts. I'm pleased about that. I like the return to the hoodie because I like the hoodie. I don't like the tight suits. I think it's too generic and throwback. I think that works well. It works well with his maturity. The whole walking down the corridor thing, I don't know where Doctor Who got this from, why it's so important to it. This whole walking towards camera, be it as a snapshot or be it as a video. What I don't like is I don't like the line, as usual, and I'm loving it, or whatever she says.
Yeah,
indicating agreed. That despite the fact there's death and terror and horror everywhere and people's lives being, you know, pulled apart, which I'm sure they will be throughout, you know, people's loved ones will be lost in battles against evil and people who were once good might be turned evil to be lost in an act of redemption, all those usual Doctor Who tropes. It's a lot of fun for her. That automatically makes me dislike her. I just really dislike that attitude. And I know they've all had it, as we've said before, but I just don't like it.
No, I absolutely agree with that. In the original series, you got the sense that they did more than risk their life every day and watch people die, you know.
Yeah.
And you get a little bit of that in series one when Rose tells Mickey that they've gone to, you know, the Planet
yes.
Woman wept and so on like that. And even later on in series two, when you see the Doctor and Rose just standing on a planet taking in a view, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
You know it's there. So... let them just enjoy that aspect of it. They don't need to be saturated in the terrible things as fun. I mean, that's what is that? Sadist? That's a sadist?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
terrible.
They all are, isn't it? They're just the lack of empathy that these
yeah.
wonderful companions must have to see this as a joyride amongst other people's terror, humiliation, horror, and subjugation. I mean, could you imagine... You know, and I when we do these, I try to not wax political, but obviously there's tensions in the West, in America, and in the UK for various reasons politically. But do you imagine, you know, someone making a comment about that, you know, people who are, whether they're right or left in their country, suffering at the other opponent, and then someone swaltzing in and saying, yeah, I'm here to sort it all out, and I'm just loving it. You know, no one would like that. Whoever, whatever side you are, whatever political spectrum, it just sounds so degrading to the situation. It feels like, yeah, but we're not loving it, whoever we are, you know, whether you're the right against Obama or you're the left against Trump. You know, either side isn't enjoying that challenge to their ideology. And so someone coming in who sort of doesn't care one way or the other and is just going to sort it all out just sounds really, I don't know, disconnected. So, yeah, I don't like that. And the one thing I did find interesting, two other things I'll just point out. I'll take a screen cap of this and make sure we have it for the trailer. There's one shot at 0.18 on the trailer, which I just think is really cool. And again, just shows me why I think Capaldi, if he'd been used correctly, would have been an absolutely fantastic companion. And it's just a shot of him with a screwdriver, a companion, doctor. A shot of him with a screwdriver with Matt Lucas behind him. I just love the framing of that shot. It's just, there's a lot of energy in Capaldi there. Can you see it?
One moment, I'm going to get there. You said, what's the time code?
0.18. Luckily, it's a 30-second trailer, so you've
only
got. But I mean, it's just something I think they've not done with Capaldi enough. They've had him in these tight suits, in a sort of slightly sort of haughty, pertwee manner. And so this is where I think really looks dynamic. This is the sort of doctor you just haven't seen before him, and we don't see barely at all with him.
He has such an amazing face.
He does,
and
doesn't
like you
he?
Said, his hair and the hoodie, that's a combination that I like too.
I
but
love
he's got
it.
Such an amazing face.
He
I
does.
Mean that it works so perfectly for the character.
And it's just what Matt Lucas looks like he's thinking as well. He's like, he's just got such an amazing face.
Yeah, I'm really, I don't want to say I'm starting to feel good, but I'm starting to be hopeful that Matt Lucas could be interesting, because what I realize here is we may finally be getting a dual companion set up in the new series that isn't relationship based.
Yeah.
And I think that will be good. So I'm really starting to feel better about that. Somebody pointed out when watching this where he pulls his sonic screwdriver from. I don't see it. Let me put this thing in the highest HD that I can. There we go. I don't see it, though, but they say he pulls the sonic screwdriver from a holster. I don't think I see it's in a holster. I think he might just be keeping it in his pant loop there. But if there's a sonic holster, that's, you're getting a little too far with that for me. But even still, if it's not a holster, then he's at least just found a unique place to store his sonic that no other doctor has done.
I've got to say, he is, throughout that trailer, he is owning it. If you just click through it, every expression he's got in there is really interesting. Every expression has something. I mean, there's an expression at the time code at 0.09, which is useful for people watching this, and if they click the trailer in the show notes, at 0.09, I mean, that sort of shot there, you could imagine on an opening sequence. It's just the eye again. It's really.
It's like they say with film. If you can turn the sound off on a film and watch it and understand the story that's being told, even without the dialogue or the music, then it's a job well done. And I think this trailer, in essence, aside from the companion's dialogue on it, as a matter of fact, probably I should say it this way, it works better without the companion's dialogue on it, saying that she's loving it or describing the doctor in the same way we've heard him described a million times. It just works. This trailer could have been aired with just them walking down the hallway, being all their facial expressions with the explosions and popping around them. That would have worked so well. That would have made me even more hyped.
Because the nice thing about it, and if we're going to go wax positive again, which is nice, is that even if you dislike the approach to Billy in this trailer, and possibly what she'll be like in the season, you do have a nice juxtaposition. Because I don't get the impression you're going to get the feeling that Matt Lucas is sort of seeing this as a joyride, a hitchhiking bit of fun. He doesn't express that in the trailer, and even in the Christmas special where he was the highlight. He was actually very down to earth, and again, sort of playing very much a sort of Alfred Pennyworth to a Bruce Wayne. So he is very hopeful. The only other thing I wanted to add, and I was just interested in this, is her very last line, which if I put it on now, it will come across the speakers, which I don't really want it to do because it'll sound unprofessional. Sure. But I'm going to anyway because I'm not. even if it kills me. Now, given that this series is shifting, the show is shifting ownership by the next series, and I don't know, I've not checked out, I've not heard what her contract is, whether she's down for one season or series, or whether she is, even though they do only do it per series, I wondered whether she was a one series wonder. Because if I was them, there would be a very strong logic to do a total recast for Chibnall's. You're losing Capaldi, you're losing Moffat. There would be an argument to keep the companion, to keep that trace of continuity, which has been done in the classic series many times. But I do kind of wonder whether this could be a one season thing and then moving on to a new era after.
Yeah, it is. It is certainly hard to say whether or not it's definitely going to be a one series thing or not. But it does make sense to me that she could easily be a one season companion, especially if Moffat wants to do what Russell did. And we talked about this before, where basically he capped off his entire era. You know, like you can watch the show and know that it's connected to the classic series, and you can watch the show and know that it's connected to the Moffat era. But in essence, it's a series unto itself, and Moffat's era can be viewed the same way. And if Bill carries over, you know, the Doctor is always going to carry over. That's a constant. But if Bill carries over, then her story would have started in a previous era.
Yeah,
I think that's good. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I wonder if the show's producers would.
I think the show's producers would, and I think going back to the Moffat, the crossover from Davis to Moffat, I think is indicative of the way that shows tend to work now more than they did in the classic era, as we would call it. And I think, because they're going for a new rebrand on this, pretty much, you know, a soft reboot, as the Moffat era was. We should make clear that the soft reboot's not a dirty, scary word. It's exactly what Moffat's era did. I would think that she was only a one season thing. And so it makes that question of whether Stephen, given we know that he does love to dabble in the past, he does love to enjoy some of the things which I think excited him in Doctor Who, trying in his Doctor Who, which is entirely natural for a Doctor Who fan. The companion death is something he hasn't done. And I wouldn't be entirely surprised if part of him would like to be known or like to be remembered as one of those writers who did a Doctor Who companion death, because there's not been many.
I love the fact that you say it's something he hasn't done, yet his era was the one where he killed everyone.
Permanently, yeah, but that's what I mean. That's the difference, isn't it?
Dead, so, yeah.
But that's, because he knows as a fan, you look back at the show, people will only really cite Adric and, at a push, Sarah Kingdom or Katrina, although those two are often considered, well, you know, they weren't really... Sarah travelled within the TARDIS, but she didn't actually travel any more episodes in the Dalek Master Plan. And obviously Katrina, similar issue. She just did the one hop. So they only really look at Adric as being that singular major death. So I could see Moffat feeling that desire to be known in the same way that John Nathan Turner and Soward are known, as being one of those writers who permanently killed a companion.
Right.
So I could see that happening. At the same time, I could see him not doing it because the show seems very wary of its children audience these days. So could go either way, but I just thought that the underlining of that, even if it kills me, made me wonder whether he was going to do a killing thing, and whether it being his final outing, whether he will not be doing the soft kill, as he's done with Clara, as he's done with Amy, as he's done with Rory, as he's done with Amy, as he's done with Rory, as he's done with Amy, as he's done with Rory, as he's done with the Doctor, as he's done with Amy, as he's done with Rory. So hopefully that could be quite interesting if that is the case.
Yeah, it could. It could. Certainly if it's done well. And, you know, we keep trying to be hopeful about this new series and saying that if things are done well. But that is the key thing. If it's handled well and it's handled permanently, then it could be impactful.
It could, yeah. And it could make her sort of cocky gallivanting carry some poignancy. That reminder that, you know, these companions get, as they tried to do with Clara, and they cowardly backed out of it. It's the only way I can try and describe. I can't think of any other way to describe that choice of bringing Clara back for the last episode, which wasn't needed at all. is the idea that they become very cocky, self-assured in their position because they're behind this shield of godly power, that they survive to the point where they think they can survive anything, and then find out they don't. And that's kind of a great story arc, the sort of, you know, the falling from, you know, the hubris. But whether they'll pull it through this time, I don't know. They should have done it with Clara. I mean, I still look back at Hellbent and I think you could have done that without Clara. You could have, in fact, it'd have been quite interesting. If you put him into that situation where he goes to Gallifrey, maybe even thinking as he's going to try and bring back Clara, then realizes he can't and he shouldn't, and has to actually reconcile that with Gallifrey, with some massive end episode thing with whatever Missy and me and whatever, you know, that could have been a far more satisfying end to the series and a far more suitable ending for the Doctor's character's relationship with Clara.
Yeah, it would have been a lot more interesting too to see the Doctor without a companion, without that guide, I guess, if you will, on his side, and showing what can happen. Like, you know, when Adric died, we saw that he was just kind of sad and he had to keep the other two companions in line. And maybe you can look at that as, hey, look, you know, we should be sad, but we should move forward too, and doing that for them, you know. Whereas here, he's got nobody. So seeing what would happen when a companion dies, what he would actually do. We got a little bit of that, you know, when the Doctor thought Rose was dead, you know, he lashed out against the Daleks, you know, and then to save her, he lashed out even more, you know. So we see what he is capable of doing. But here, getting her back just did ruin it, because there was no fallout of that. And then even in the end, he's just made to completely forget her, and she goes and runs off and has a full life. And it's like that. We didn't get anything from that. We got nothing. You know, nobody got anything, you know.
I always felt that, and again, this would, I'm sure if the writer was listening to this, it would really irritate him. But I'd imagine if you handed that in to, as an English essay, as a story for, say, I don't know, creative writing, you can just picture what the comments would be on that. It's like, why does she come back? What does it bring to the character? You've made the character forget her as if that's meant to be his punishment. But what does that still bring? What benefit for the audience has it to bring her back? What has it taught her? It's taught her nothing. Everything she learns in that final episode, it clearly hasn't taught her by the end of it, because she's now just as powerful as the Doctor, able to go around the universe doing what the hell she wants, which was exactly the argument that the Raven episode was trying to tell her she can't do.
Right.
And it didn't matter. So, you know, you do that, you create a circumstance which is a bit weird, that doesn't make any sense. It's her flying around. And you also undermine the very crux of that episode, that she only has her moment left to live, by sort of saying, well, she'll just put that moment off, like we all do, technically. So she's exactly the same as she was before, really. Well, one day she'll have to go back to that moment to die. Well, so do we all. It was terrible. And so, yeah, anyway, so, I mean, the point being is that if he does do something more straightforward, more narratively coherent, as actually killing a companion off who does have a feeling of invincibility through the Doctor, and that perhaps having a massive impact for the Doctor in terms of his final stories as Capaldi, that would make so much sense to me. That would be something which could really make this a powerful journey. And it's one that not just Moffat, but Davis sort of backed out from as well. I mean, he did that with Rose. I mean, Rose was clearly a point where it was the same sort of storyline. They were becoming both very cocky, very self-assured, and just treating it all as a game. And the obvious outcome of that was there should have been a fallout where one of them died. You know, to remind you, it wasn't a game. And in the end, he just safely pocketed her into a different universe, where she could be brought back if needed, as she was. And again, you think, that's a cop out.
Yeah, and he even found a way to give us a character death without killing a character when it came to Donna. You know, and
yes,
so it was
absolutely.
A bit of a cop out.
I mean, to be fair with that one, and this is not to try and trump Davis over Moffat on this, I think that was a better one in the sense that he never did. He never did unwind that. She did. She would always live. Well, I don't know. I suppose End of Time did a bit by giving her a lottery ticket, which means that she was always fabulously wealthy. So it did sort of perhaps undermine the sort of, but I still don't think totally, because you get the impression of End of Time that the sad tragedy is that from Wilf's point of view, that she'll never be that special person. That special person she was has been lost, and she will now live a fairly mundane life away from the potential that she had. So I suppose there was that bit of dark side, which you don't see in any of the others. And to be honest, the Amy Pond would have been a little darker if they'd kept that nice scene that they had planned, they storyboarded, where she has her letter to her father. No, not her father, to Rory's father. The letter to Rory's father, which they didn't do in the end.
Oh, sure.
Do you remember that one where he gets the letter, which just sort of says, it just basically gave it a better feeling to me of, I suppose they thought it just duplicated the idea of the letter to the doctor and perhaps was unnecessary, I don't know. But to me, that just sort of placed it better, because it just felt very sudden, them going into the past. And then you just have this letter of, hi, we're doing fine. I think kind of having seen the father's reaction, Rory's father's reaction, just sort of gave it a sort of a bitter sweetness to it, that there was ramifications of this, that he would never see his son again.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, so I suppose that's the trailer, isn't it? I'm
that is the
on.
Trailer.
It has fascinated
me. That
is
how
me. That goes. But yeah, interesting trailer, looks good. Boring over, I think that's our general opinion, isn't it? Looks good. Nice reaction shots from all of them, all three of them, playing the trailer really well. It's just that rather forced and overdone, done before companion riff that mars it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that. Every shot of Capaldi, every shot of all of them, to be fair, is really strong. They are playing that, they're all playing that trailer really well.
Yeah, it's definitely a very well done trailer. It was enjoyable, and it does, you know, those aspects of it do make me sit there and go, okay, you know what, I'm starting to miss the show.
Goodbye. It's good, isn't it? Hmm?